Ari Shaffir, ladies and gentlemen. Ari Shaffir. I was thinking when talked to Scott, don't think we had you on the last visit, but the visit prior. This is a pretty routine stop for you coming to Calgary.
Yeah. I love it here.
Once a year?
Yeah, it used to be never. And then Scott brought me in, and now this is three times, more than once a year, like once every 10 months. Every year. Okay.
Yeah. This town has become, it's a stop now.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely want to come for Stampede.
Yes,
gotta
you do.
Find my way to come for Stampede.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, I do, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. You'll want to speak very nicely to Scotty. And hey, it'd be great for you.
There's no comedy during that week. That's all I hear.
Oh. Yeah.
That's the comedy. But I can come and just watch people and get material for afterwards.
But when we talked to...
See,
we had
the horses in training.
Yeah. Two visits ago.
Yeah.
Things were going well. The podcast was kind of taking off and all that. And missed you last round. And I really feel, and I said it before we went on the air, I feel like this is one of the last times that we're going to see Ari Shaffir in a club.
Oh.
Because you are, and we said it last time, this is where it's going. There's a select crew of you guys, I think, that are now starting to separate from the pack, and you're definitely in that. And obviously you've...
Yeah, I feel like that a little bit. It's kind of weird. Because it's still just going up every night and just doing what you've been doing.
Haven't changed anything.
Yeah, maybe I've changed my focus into like writing and developing new material.
Yeah.
For like a reason to put it out, you know, it focuses you to like do something, you know what I mean?
So how
have a goal?
I don't. For a guy who doesn't know what it's like to be creative, I just wonder how that would be. So I'm going to change the way I think about things or approach things.
Well, I had this big talk with Louis C.K. and he told me about how he puts out an hour a year. We were walking from one venue at Just for Last Festival in Montreal to another, and I was like, you know, that's kind of unheard of, right? This is 5 years ago, maybe. And he was like, yeah, and he just explained to me how he did it. Just throws away all his material once he records it, and just his creative brain forces him to like make new stuff.
Yeah.
And I kind of poo-pooed it for a year or two. I was like, yeah, but anything you record, you can just sell to HBO or Comedy Central or show it to somebody's going to buy it. I don't have that option. But then I started thinking more about it, and I realized it was just like, I'm giving reasons why I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
But I haven't given any reasons why I should do it. So I was just like, you know, as a creative, I don't know, game, just try it. Just try to write a new hour in a year. And man, it's shockingly easy. You get locked into doing what you do. You don't change it all.
Yeah.
Plus, I went through a depression, so I just thought, hey, I'll just commit to stand-up, and as soon as I'm out of money, I can just put a bullet in my brain.
But that's what it is, right? There's got to be some flux in your life. Every comedian has some dark past. Or there's not a lot of, I grew up in a white picket fence with one brother, one sister, and it's great, and I'm a great stand-up. No, you're not.
Yeah. Stand-ups work shockingly little. And every time I tell people, like, hey, how much? Everyone's like, I work really hard. I was like, when's the last time you wrote for 15 minutes in a day?
Yeah.
And they're all like, oh, I don't do that. Way too much.
The whole hour in a year thing.
Yeah.
And because I talk about it whenever stand-ups come in. It's mind-boggling. To do an hour on no one can wrap your head around it until you've tried to go on.
It is a long time. Yeah, once you have 10, 12 years of experience, an hour's not that long. You can do the time. I did longer than that yesterday, right? Like an hour 15 or something, and I left out some stuff.
Yeah,
and when you that,
and half I gotta wonder when you get started. It's like, hey, I finally got my hour.
Yeah,
what do you have?
I do 5 minutes a month.
You got 35 minutes. Well,
it was 5 minutes a month. If you get that pace, then you're going strong.
Yeah,
you know. But I'm over the year now. I'm like at 17 months, 18 months.
Yeah.
So I just got this hour ready to go. I'm recording next month.
But then
doing a special.
Then you gotta.
Then it sucks.
Then you gotta Louis C.K. that stuff and give it.
It's like you kill leading up to it. So October 29th, I'm taping. So October 28th, 27th, it's killing for an hour.
Yeah.
And then October 30th, it's what's in the news?
Yeah.
Scotland, huh? Some stuff with that, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's how you separate from the pack.
Oh, yeah. I forgot you're a stand up fan. Forgot about that.
Well, I but that's how you separate.
Yeah,
is by not trotting out the jokes that people heard
that
when you were through last time and the time before. That's the only way to do it.
It's weird. In the beginning, you just learn how to write a joke, and it takes a while. It's years to learn how to just write a good joke. You write a couple here or there by accident, then you slowly learn more and more how to do it. And then you do that, you learn how to do it, and you have this dearth of material, you know, and you go to that because those are your winners, and you do an hour. You're like, well, here's what I can do for an hour, 20 minutes, whatever it is. And then at some point you're like, okay, I've done that. And then some guys just keep doing that.
Yeah.
The Love Master, like he's been doing the same joke for 15 years. And the other guy's like, get more interested in like the process of getting new material. You know, that's kind of more interesting to me. And then I get bored with it after like a year.
And where does, as far as working on the material, you got to go up.
Got to go up.
Is that where it, you know, is that
LA
where
or New York? I moved to New York last year.
I was going to ask you because it's got to be one or the other.
So that's three times more spots than in LA. You know, I can get up like a few times a night instead of once a night.
Yeah. The Stand.
The Stand is a lot.
Gotham, Cellar.
Uh-huh. State right? of New York.
Yeah.
Little garbage rooms.
And you literally do that, right? It's like, okay, I can get on at 9 here and then 10:30 here and then 11. You just go from club
to club.
Yeah, and
they're all pretty good at like, hey, I have a 9:15 here and I have a 9:30 over there. I don't have time. Can you push one back to 10? And they go, yeah, okay, I'll ask to switch with somebody.
So do you find, same
it's
city.
It's fun though, man. It's invigorating, running from spot to spot.
Yeah, but do you find, okay, so I'm at the Stand. Now I'm going to go to the Cellar. Yeah. What killed here did not work as well
here. Yeah, sometimes, but sometimes it's because you're tired too.
Yeah.
So then you're like, instead of like smiling at the right spot and like putting the crowd at ease, you just don't have quite the energy to do it. And then it doesn't put them at ease. And they're like, hey, this is just racist. You know? Yeah. Without that little smile,
that's
a lot
not
of
funny.
Stuff is just racist. That's just homophobic.
Yeah, that's just bad taste.
Yeah.
I was listening to, I think it was a pod. It was Robert Kelly was talking to Colin Quinn, and he was talking about this one night. He was on stage. And he had just this bit that he did, but it never really quite worked. And then that night, bam, there it was.
Yeah.
Just whether it all worked that night on stage. Grabs his recorder and he wasn't recording. And he's like, okay, now what did I do there? And he never got it back. Do you do that?
Yeah, sometimes I'll go back to a bit that I'll listen to. I'll mark it on my phone as this bit done well.
Yeah.
And then I'll start struggling with it. I'll be like, wait, why isn't this working anymore? And then I'll go back and listen to like the time we went well.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot this part, the setup part. Dropped out by accident.
Yeah.
I don't know. Things like that. It helps to cross-reference. Or the first time you do a bit, I'll record that and mark it.
Yeah. Do you take advice from other guys, from other comedians?
I try to, yeah.
Because some won't, right? It's like, no, that's not mine.
Yeah,
I don't
take taglines as much.
Yeah.
Like, you should say this thing. But sometimes they go like...
Have you thought of...
Yeah, what would your dad say about that? I thought your dad was going to come home and say something. And you're like, oh, that is a whole angle. You're right.
Yeah.
You know, and then I have to write the jokes myself, but like, oh, just that way of thinking. Yeah, absolutely.
Because there's
this joke's been done before. If somebody tells you that, you're like, oh, really?
Yeah.
You have to like try to stop.
Because I've talked to some, they're like, no, because then it's not organic. Then it's not mine.
Yeah, some guys are like,
I'm just going to lock myself in my room. And when it becomes mine, if it comes out, it comes out. And if it doesn't, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Ari Shaffir is our guest this weekend at Yuck Yucks. If truly one of the best going today, get yourself tickets. Friday, Saturday, couple shows each. Tight.
Yeah.
Do it now.
Hurry up.
Get on it now.
Sold out
in
2 hours, right? About 2 hours.
So you're now doing the, you don't need to come. You don't need to be here today. You don't need to be here.
Oh, radio.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't mind doing it. Also, I want to make sure it sells out.
Yeah, but it's going to. People know who you are. You now have that name recognition.
Yeah, but I'm still so beaten down from those first years of comedy. Whenever I walk into a club and it's like Thursday, the first show, and I walk in, let's say I walk in an hour early and I see the showroom, and I'm like, oh, there's nobody here. And they go, dude, relax. Nobody's supposed to be here yet. There's only three people here.
That's
they got
right,
here
yeah.
for no reason. I'm just so used to there being eight people in the audience.
You still have to be funny, which goes without saying, right? But even because I think it was Seinfeld that says, you know, I'll come out and it's standing ovations, and that's great.
Yeah.
But after joke 3, 4, 5, unless it's funny, it's like, oh, what's happened to Jerry Seinfeld? You still have to have the stuff that makes it work.
Yeah, I think a lot of guys lose sight of that though. I see more and more like of the older guys. They've made it. They've started, you know, they've made a bunch of money and people know who they are. And then they're just not as funny.
Yeah.
They just go to skirt by. You know, when you're just like a hot girl, she doesn't have to know how to act. She can like start fights at bars and she'll always get away with it. She'll barf and someone will hold her hair back. There's no real repercussions.
Yeah,
when you're Jerry Seinfeld level or even way below that, but still like sort of famous.
Yeah.
There's less repercussions for a bad joke. Crowd laughs at you anyway.
Yeah.
You watch Chappelle meandering through a non-thought-out two-hour set. And every time, it goes 10 minutes without a laugh. And as soon as he makes a joke, everyone's right back with him.
Yeah, I know. But you know what?
He has no incentive to write new jokes.
But that news travels as fast as, you got to see this guy. He killed. It's like, yeah, I was surprised. I went to see blank. And boy, I don't know. It's just, the last time I saw him, it was better. And the time before that, it was better.
It was even better, yeah.
You got to have that.
Yeah, I get worried about that. I see the traps everyone else has fallen into.
Yeah.
And my friends go like, no, that could never happen to you because you're this and this. I'm like, well, it happened to Carlin.
Yeah.
I'm not better than George Carlin. So like, what do you mean? It's just hubris to think it's not going to happen to you.
So
I just want to delay it.
What is it that sparks you? Is it just, okay, so get up in the morning, cup of coffee, newspaper. What's in the news?
No, I don't do that. It's more social stuff.
Yeah.
So as I come across things in my day-to-day life, or the more I talk about it, it's just like, what's on your mind? What do you think about? You know, when you have the same conversations that get you riled up?
Yeah.
Are you a Dodgers fan?
No. Just okay. Was at a game, bought a hat.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. That's all right. That's allowed.
But didn't you have something about baseball? Aren't you kind of a baseball guy?
Yeah, I like baseball.
Yeah.
Yankees fan. Yankees. Yeah. And they're about to be out now.
Yeah, well.
They're old.
They won last night. Jeter home run.
I know. It's pretty
small
nice,
victories
huh?
at this point, yeah. right?
People are like, are they going to sit Jeter? And you're like, no, you're not going to sit Jeter. Stop it. And they're like, well, he's not batting well. It's like, so is nobody else in the team.
Yeah.
Their best batter is like 281.
What about everywhere they go, they're giving them gifts?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Dude, he's been a great player for a while.
It's like, gee, thanks.
And loved.
Thanks for the... this Civic hatchback.
Oh, yeah, that's
this
dumb.
This is fantastic.
They did that for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I remember that. They gave him like a motorcycle at some place. Yeah. It was just like honoring him.
And he has to fake it right in Tampa Bay or whatever it was. They gave him a kayak. It's like, and then, hey, thanks.
Thanks. I live in New York.
How
the water here is gross.
How am I getting this home?
Oh,
and
yeah.
then where am I putting it?
Yeah.
Thanks for the gift that's going to cost me money.
And then they beamed him right after that.
Yeah.
Like, thanks. Here you go.
Ari Shaffir at Yuck Yucks. Now,
my friend has a story about Derek Jeter.
Yeah.
He went to Michigan, Derek Jeter, for like 3 months before he like left and went to the Yankees.
Yeah.
I don't think he ever played a game even, unless it's in the spring. Maybe he did. But my friend's only interaction with him was Jeter went over to him and go, hey, when's Yom Kippur? Because he was sitting with all his Jew friends. And he goes, I don't know. I think it's like in a month. He goes, oh, cool. And that was it. He gives gift baskets to girls after
he
bones them.
Yes, he does.
And our driver is waiting to take them home.
Thoughtful.
All class.
That's thoughtful stuff.
I walk them to the front door, to like my apartment door.
Yeah.
Not the front door of the building.
What's in your gift basket?
A morning after pill and someone else's phone number.
Yeah. The
gift certificate for an abortion.
Yeah.
In case they forget the morning after pill.
The crowds here, like, because you know, the Jewish thing, does that fly as much here as it does?
No, but I don't do as much Jewish jokes. I do a little bit here or there.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody still knows those hook-nosed bastards. Everybody's been like, wait a minute, you didn't give me back the right change. Well, you've just met a Jew.
Yeah, because I feel like it's the
I don't know, there's definitely not as many here.
Yeah, like the political stuff and the, you know, just...
Sometimes when I'm talking about America in some way, I like as I'm about to say it, I'm like, oh, I'm not there.
Yeah.
I wonder how much you guys know.
You guys, Obama, right? You know?
Are you familiar with him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you have to kind of
crap? It's weird. I've gone to other countries this year. I went to China and Switzerland and Amsterdam, played at a bunch of different places. And I realized how, as little as I know about other countries, that's pretty much how much they know about America.
Yeah.
They kind of know Obama. They don't know the vice president or any of that. They're concerned with their own countries, like everybody is. Canada and America have more of a, like a, you know, sister brother relationship. We're aware of each other a little bit.
Yeah, I guess.
But anywhere else, they're like, I don't know, you guys are just some country. We don't give a crap.
Yeah.
Almost did it there.
That's all right.
Yeah.
We're on delay. No, we're not.
Oh, are you?
Okay. Go ahead. I don't care.
See how much I can get the delay down.
Yeah. Ari Shaffir. Now, you said.
Got half a second. Don't do anything.
How long you been in New York? Because you were doing.
I've been there a year. I moved there a year in April.
You enjoy that?
Yeah, I love it. It's new streets, new girls. New stages. I love it. It's just invigorating. I don't want to die in my same apartment that I've been in for 10 years.
Because most people would say, that's California. What are you doing? You could go California.
Yeah, but the more my career moves towards stand-up and away from like commercials and like TV stuff, I audition for TV things now. And I mean, I see the lines. I'm like, I can't do this. Like, they're just too unfunny.
Yeah.
The more I build a name of what I find is funny, I can't just do the... I could before. I'm like, eat a McDonald's. Some stupid.
Yeah, yeah.
Some awful joke. What's that worst? Taco Bell. They're the worst commercials. They're just so unfunny. At least if you're not trying to be funny, it's okay. But when they're trying and failing.
I know.
But now it's like, ugh, I can't do this. I went to read for a sitcom once. And I finished the audition. And the casting director was like, okay, that was good. My only note was you didn't do any of the lines. I was like, oh, yeah, listen, these lines are really bad. I can't do them.
Yeah.
I can't say manscaping. It was 2014. I'm like, are you kidding me? I can't deliver this. I'll lose all my fans.
Yeah.
It's not worth the 50 grand a week or whatever it is. It's not worth it. Plus, not having a job is so much better than a job. So there's so few things I can do.
Do you like being in that spot, though?
But it's because like, I want to be in L.A. Yeah, it's a great spot to be in, to be able to say, screw you. I'll do what I want.
Take my wife. Seriously.
Turn down money, yeah.
Oh, it's great, great art, great
stuff.
There's
such a freedom to not having a job, to being able to say no to anybody, to a garbage club owner. Like I told you, some clubs, especially you.
Yeah.
No. Some clubs, they're just like bad, and you get an offer to do it again. You're like, no. And you're like, what do you mean? And I was like, no, I'll just work out in New York. I don't need to do that.
So where, like, maybe where would these places be? These garbage
There's a place
clubs.
In Connecticut. There's lots of places. There's lots of places that are just like Miami. I'll never go to Miami. That improv. It's horrible. It's horrible. It should be burned. Yeah, in fact, if I make enough money, I'm going to buy it and
that's
burn
right.
it.
And then just
controlled
burn.
Burn.
So what's the end game? Because for a lot of comedians we come through, we talk to them.
Yeah.
Sitcom.
A minute already.
Would be great, you know, to have write your own, like, because what Louis does, right?
Yeah.
I got my show. I write it. I produce it. I have complete creative control.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, that'd be fun. But I always viewed acting as like, well, no, sometimes I got lost and I was like, I need to do this. But usually I viewed it as just a cool hobby.
Yeah.
You know, like everyone's playing softball. I'm like, yeah, I'll play. And it's fun as hell. But it's not like what I want to do every day.
Yeah.
Although maybe actually softball might be fun to play every day. Maybe a bad example. She sounds like a great
Well,
life.
You know what's great about, in this case, if it was playing softball, and then even when you're done playing softball, they keep sending you money. Like if softball game gets syndicated or something like that, then it's really good.
Dude, that was the greatest thing with commercials. They don't pay the same in Canada, but the American commercials, it's like you just get paid every time it runs. So if you're at a bar, you know how they have the TV on mute?
Uh-huh.
Then you see it, you just be like, hey, I just made $130. Round on me,
round
everybody.
On me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Great. Seeing your face walk by the screen or your ear. That's all you got to see is your ear.
A lot of people, when we said you were coming in, they listened to the podcast.
Yeah. Cool.
When is that going to, like going to Miami to a crap club, when is that going to become an encumbrance on you? And it's like, okay.
The podcast?
Yeah.
Already is. Almost immediately.
Yeah.
As soon as I said, hey, I'm going to put this out every Monday, as soon as I committed to like, I'll do this every Monday, it became an encumbrance.
Yeah.
It's a chore to do. Not even the discussions themselves are fine. You know, that's usually with my friends or somebody interesting that I'm interested in hearing something about them.
Sure, yeah.
Like if it was all about this radio, you know, you would tell me all the buttons you have to push and you know how you started and stuff like that. It'd be interesting.
Very exciting.
But just to get the interview, to have to call you and arrange a time, and then you have to equalize the wave files afterwards. All that stuff is just like effort.
Well, you gotta get somebody to do that for you.
I know.
Get some. They'll book it. They'll get, okay, the car comes and they take care of you. All the technical stuff, don't you
worry. A lot of guys do that. I don't know.
Mr. Shafir, don't you worry, I'm Mr. Shafir.
Maron does that. I think he has someone else cut his stuff and like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. That's what you need to do. And there too.
I'm in the in-between stage. I don't make enough money to have someone else do that stuff for me.
And there too. Well, your podcast used to be so good.
It's
not good anymore.
That's what we're talking about. You get a new manager in there, a new owner, and it just loses a little something and people just go away.
This weekend, and I'll say it again, get there and see Ari Shafir because it might be the last time.
It ain't going to be the last time. I like doing clubs.
It might be the last time.
I don't like doing theaters. I did Jack Singer with Rogan a bunch of times.
Yeah, yeah.
They're fun, but they're not. There's no connection. I mean, because I've done those theaters a bunch when the money was the same. I just opened, you know? So it's 30 minutes to 30 minutes. Doesn't matter. It's nowhere close. Clubs are always better. It's a better feeling. Now, I could easily say like, well, I can't fill up theaters, so that's fine. But I've done them, and they're just not as fun.
It's interesting because a lot of that would, like, you talk about goals. There'd be a lot of people. Once I'm out of the clubs, having to work five times a weekend or seven times a weekend, how about I work once and make the same amount of dough?
Yeah.
But like you say, you lose that disconnect, and then maybe your material suffers. And
yeah, exactly. And then you start playing to your own crowd. That's another fear. You start playing to only your fans, and you don't get an honest rendition of what's going on. So Bill Burr is in clubs every day just stopping in to as few of his fans as possible to test the stuff, you know. This is what I did too. All the guys that work out in LA or New York are just doing that.
It's
all
like
the
whenever people will go to, because it's not like I've been to New York a bunch, but I've gone five or six times, and hey, I'm going to New York, you go Yankee game, I'm like, you got to go to the Cellar, you got to go down fun. You got to go to the
and
Village.
It's a shawarma place right next door. My moods, man, it's good. Don't look down because there's a lot of rats coming out of the back.
Yeah, it's an interesting area for sure.
Yeah,
but you don't know who's coming in.
Oh yeah, I went there. I'm like 2 years into comedy, and it was Jim Norton, Chappelle, Dave Attell, and then like two other, Dove Davidoff.
Attell's there a ton.
Attell's there all the time. Like at the end of every night, it's cool to get to know him too.
Yeah,
going to become friends with him. You sit on that front stoop and you, in the summer, just look at the drunk girls crying. That's become my favorite thing. Looking at a drunk girl crying and then her friend sitting next to her eating pizza and checking her texts. Yeah. Like, so, uninterested in your tears.
Like, or it was for a while, but now it's okay.
Yeah. All right. It's been 2 hours. This guy's been treating you like this for a year. Yeah. I don't care anymore.
So who are your guys right now that you respect the most, that he's like, you know what? He or she doing it the right way.
Yeah.
The way they're grinding. That's
Bill Burr is leading the charge. He's in my group of people that are like trying to do this. He's him and Louis, but Louis seemed a better than us. Burr, I saw the change. Tom Segura, who Scott's going to have here at some point soon. He's a great, great comic.
He is.
Yeah. He's doing it on a real high level.
And not just because I kind of look like him with my fat face and
yeah,
beard,
with your fat face.
But
yeah.
But I think I think he's
just
very
rounder. He's great. He's really on a high level.
I went to see Regan.
Brian Regan's great, but I never see him. But yeah, how was it?
Dynamite.
Yeah,
like absolute, and works clean. Doesn't swear. You feel like he's working the crowd all the time. You don't know if it's part of the deal, but it feels so generic and organic. It feels like it's just off the cuff. Unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Whenever I see him, it's amazing. And he's like happens to be clean. You don't even notice. It's like he's trying to be clean.
Yeah, you
it
don't.
Just, it just is clean. I heard that he changes whenever he says, when he throws out an F-bomb, when he says that word.
Yeah.
He'll like, as he's working on material, he'll be like, okay, I can find a better word than that.
Yeah.
So if he's saying like, you're big effing boobs. Yeah. Can I say boobs?
Sure.
If you're says I big your big effing boobs, but like now I can change that word. So it goes, oh, your big veiny boobs.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, it's funnier and more descriptive.
And it works.
Yeah.
And a lot of guys rely on it.
Oh yeah. I'm one of those guys. I said here I did that just recently. I'm like, man, what a good idea. You can learn from other comics too all the time.
Yeah.
Technical stuff.
If I threw an F bomb in here, it's even more fun. Yeah. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Just weak.
But that group, man, truly, you are right there.
Yeah.
You like I say, separated from the pack. I'm a big fan and can't say enough for people that are coming around. You got to see Ari.
Thanks. It's great to be on Classic Rock 92.7.
That's right. We'll have some Zeppelin coming for you after a short time out. Tickets are there are very few available. What, go online, Scotty? Yuck Yucks. You'll find Yuck Yucks Calgary. Get on it. And two tonight, two tomorrow.
Two tonight, two tomorrow. Then I'm going back Sunday. I'm going to Europe. I'm going to what's that thing called in Munich?
Amsterdam?
No. Oktoberfest. I'm doing Copenhagen. Then I'm going to Oktoberfest with my brother.
Just come back alive, hey?
Yeah,
that's not up your alley at all. Good to see you, man. Thanks for coming
out. Yeah, you too.
Like I said, you don't need to, when the shows are sold out, you don't need to be doing radio on a Friday morning.
I just moved to the afternoon.
We appreciate it.
Or come by my bedroom, do a remote in my hotel room.
Yeah, maybe next time.
Okay.